Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 6:13 British Summer Time. Well, this being Friday, it's the big picture, long-term audio for global stock markets, or well, not stock markets necessarily, global markets. I'm afraid if my voice is a little scratchy at some point through this audio, I must apologize, but I've been pretty much speaking all day while at the money show. So, I'll start off here with what's been going on in the markets today. And equity markets have been pretty steady in here. The Nikkei is down 42, Hang Seng down 2, and the ASX in Australia down 30. So pretty much holding up the gains that they've made earlier on in the week. Now, importantly, the Nasdaq had a very good upward dynamic yesterday, holding it up a bit here today. It's up just 1 point, but it's not going down. So definitely holding the gains. Same with the S&P and the Dow, both reasonably good moves there. So, bit of a rally from the bottom of the range. And Europe was really quite steady. Then over in the commodities complex, in oil is down 64, so around $66. Very much range trading here at the moment. Very steady around that 66 level. Natural gas is down 1 at the moment, but really holding the gains. It's up at 14.18 right now. Gold is down 350. So had a look at 474 earlier on today, but gave up quite a lot of it, and it's currently sitting at 468, 70. So had a look at the highs, didn't like it, and it's come off a bit. We'll have to see what that's doing next week, but at the moment still consolidating. Copper's off a little bit, down 120 at 172.75, and the euro is at 120.22. So that has been quite a bit stronger earlier on today, but the dollar reasserting itself right now versus the euro and the yen, same story. The yen is up half a yen at 113.57. So the dollar is up against the yen, half a yen. And sterling is at 176.47, so a little weaker in here as well. Treasuries down 15, 114.10. So it's looking like these are still looking at that 114 level as a little bit of support. We'll see whether that's broken or not next week. Canadian dollar, good news for me, is back around the 116 level. So that has turned from what was a loss into a bit of much better profit because my break even was around 117. So that's quite a decline. That's quite a strengthening of the Canadian dollar in here today. Now, moving on to the more longer term type thing. We would hold that the at Wall that Wall Street is in a generational long period of PE ratio contraction and rising dividend yields. And what that means is that the when we say generational long, what we're saying is that it's a number of years that this bear market will last, and that it's not going to happen in a linear fashion, but it'll happen in rolling waves. What we've experienced over the last 3 years has been a good rally in an overall bear trend, and it is only really a matter of time before we see a correction of some shape or form. Now, one thing that has helped the US versus what we would have seen, for example, in the Japanese bear market, which started in 1989, is that massive liquidity that has been pumped into the market over the last 10 years or so, but especially since the crash of the Nasdaq bubble in 2000. So that has really helped to support the markets. It's also supported a range of other markets around the world. But that is the thing that is really holding up the markets right now. So when we have this range trading environment on Wall Street, that allows other markets around the world, because of this sea of liquidity that that has been created, it allows other markets around the world to rise up on this sea of liquidity. Because there's lots and lots of money, speculative money, sloshing around, and the price of money of the carry trade has really taken off, particularly in the last couple of years. So some of these markets, particularly emerging markets, will really accelerate on the upside. And when liquidity eventually starts to get taken in, and there's no sign of that just yet, particularly after Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, mean, that's a very good example of excess liquidity. They're printing an extra $200 billion without raising taxes. Obviously, that means that the value of the money in our pockets is less. At least it should do, but obviously, because there's that liquidity out there, it is holding up asset prices. So, what happens when liquidity eventually gets taken back in is that the economies that got, or the assets that got inflated on, that have actually got a weak fundamental story, will crash. On the other hand, those markets that have a good fundamental story will have a reaction. They'll maintain higher lows and they'll go on as liquidity gets left out again. So those markets that we anticipate will react without collapsing are markets like India and particularly Japan. Japan has completed its bear market, having come down and ground a really grinding water torture type bear market for the last 17 years. We are now starting to see the first step above the base. That's the first psychological perception stage of a new bull market. And we're now in the period where it's accelerating up out of that first step. What we would anticipate to happen is once that acceleration has played itself out, that we would see an extensive ranging period, or perhaps a retest of the top of the of that quite high, quite lengthy trading range with a high around 12,000. If we saw a retest of the high without it going back into that range, and then a subsequent rally, that would say that the first step above the base has been completed, and we would expect quite a good consistent uptrend to take place from then on. Obviously, Japan has a number of hurdles, and we're very early in the in this bull market, but it is definitely the developed market to be very much aware of. As for what the US is going to do, because we do have this liquidity and markets are generally ranging, we could very well end up in that situation that we had back in the I think 60s and 70s, where the S&P had a glass ceiling around 15, sorry, where the Dow Jones had a glass ceiling around 1,025. The S&P could very well have a glass ceiling around 1,575, something like that. So extensive ranging will be the order of the day, and liquidity has been pumped into the system since around 1990, when Paul Volcker came in to kill inflation in 1980. He tightened quite considerably, and interest rates went up to 13 or 14%. But since then, they were at that time they were afraid of inflation, and they were beating the body of inflation for nearly a decade. When in fact, it was a situation where deflation had taken over, particularly in manufactured goods, and inflation was no longer a problem. Well, today, people are afraid of deflation, but because of the way interest rates were cut, chances are we've avoided inflation, or we avoided deflation, and we're now in a new inflationary cycle. That being the case, fixed assets are going to be the ones where people look for a store of wealth. That is part of the reason why we have this boom in the housing market. But actually, housing market is almost entirely a story of excess liquidity, but it also helps to explain the new bull market in gold or any other of the precious metals. So our two big themes are supply inelasticity and the Asian emerging markets. Now, the supply inelasticity feeds into gold, but it particularly feeds into things like oil and the base metals. These industries have been remarkably underinvested for the last 20 odd years. There hasn't been a new refinery built in the US since 1980, and I think it's been 1976 since we saw the last lead smelter. There have been many false dawns in the industry, so big companies are reluctant to invest in exploration, because it's been such a terrible industry to be in. That's really changing right now, but it takes a number of years to get new mines online, to get new reserves opened up, and we're still very much in the early stages of the bull market in commodities. Asia also feeds into that, because the difference this time round, particularly with oil, people are saying that we are this is an oil spike, whereas I think this is very different. This is not an oil spike. We've had sustained high prices for quite a long time, and the main characteristic of the oil chart right now is ranging. It made new highs, but it's held up really remarkably well. And even if it were to fall back to $50, that's still very much in a range trading environment. This has been in a bear market for 20 years. So the chances are that the surprises are going to be on the upside. This is a demand. The difference this time is that it's a demand-led gain. Every other time it was supply was pushing up prices. This time, supply crunches. This is a demand-led gain, particularly from emerging Asia. You'll see that report by the interview from Tim Guinness in Comment of the Day today. I do recommend it. It's got some fantastic charts of Asian demand for oil. And one of the main stories it tells is that it's not just China. Asia itself accounts for a massive amount of the new demand for oil. So you've got China, you've got India, and you've got much of emerging Asia all seeking the same oil that we're looking to use, and that is helping to drive up prices. Not to mention the fact that because of the infrastructure problems, there just isn't enough of refineries, so refined products are really moving on the upside. If we are approaching a time where cheap oil, and it does look like cheap oil has disappeared, chances are we're never going to see oil back around the $20 level, and the alternative sources of oil are going to have to be explored. These getting alternative oil out of the ground can be an energy intensive operation. So that could be the reason why natural gas has had such a remarkably strong uptrend. And it does look like a very consistent trend, particularly on the daily chart. If you look at the weekly chart, it does look a lot more spiky. But on the daily chart, what we've seen recently is quite a consistent move. Now, because we have Japan moving up, Japan entering a new bull market, and the US in a secular bear market, obviously people are going to start thinking about decoupling. And decoupling, unfortunately, is a myth that that stockbrokers wish for. Japan will still very much be bound by the Wall Street leash effect, which we've talked about at length about. Now, next thing is treasuries. Because of the excess liquidity, treasuries really are the soft underbelly of the stock market. Yields have been in a bear market for 20 years. They do look like they've bottomed out around just under 4%. So with yields starting to rise, that is going to put pressure on the stock markets. Now, this isn't a trade that we can get into today. But what we need to watch is we definitely need to keep an eye on the yield charts, because when those yield charts start to break out, just like we've seen Japan break out of its bottoming, when we see those yield charts starting to move up, that's going to be what can really only be termed as extremely serious for the stock markets, because the weakness in bonds will unnerve investors, and long-term rates definitely will hit stock markets. Excuse me. Now, the dollar, because of the I'm concentrating on liquidity because it does seem to be the theme that runs through the markets at the moment. The dollar has been in a bear market for about 2 years. The thing about big patterns in currencies is that you don't get these secular trends in the currency markets, not like you get in currencies, bonds, and commodities, because no country wants to have a strong currency for a generation, 10 or 15 or 20 years. So what you tend to get are good trends for a couple of years, and then they have fairly rangy, extensive topping out and bottoming phases. Right now, we're at a period for the dollar where it's hanging around this 90 level. The bears on the dollar, there are quite a lot of them out there. So it really is hit. I think it's a 50-50 chance whether we're going to see this break up or break down. I think the main argument for the dollar weakening right now is that the last top it had was really a very, very rangy pattern, and we could quite easily see that rangy pattern start down here again, particularly on the dollar index. But we'll have to wait and see. Excuse me. Now, gold has always been a hedge against dollar strength, so that there was an inverse correlation, and that definitely seems to be falling apart at the moment. For the last couple of days, gold has been quite strong, and so has the dollar. Dollar was a little weak in here today, and gold was weak as well. So that the correlation is starting to widen out, and we are moving into the second psychological perception stage of the gold market, of the gold bull market, because now you're seeing gold break out in all the other reserve currencies, while gold hasn't yet broken out in, well, it has broken out in dollars. It's currently consolidating, whereas there hasn't been any kind of consolidation relative to the other reserve currencies. What it shows us is that gold is viewed as a long-term store of value by many different investors. So it is really only a matter of time before it starts to completely lose that correlation to the dollar. Obviously, as the dollar strengthens, that is going to be a headwind for gold, but the strength of that headwind will decrease over time. Now, other commodities. Well, copper has really had a fantastically consistent uptrend. Down a little in here today, but as regards the other industrial metals, the particular thing about copper is that it hasn't had the kind of reactions that the others have had. It had a fantastic 2003, and all the way through 2004, 2005, it's held up all the gains that it's made and gone on to make new highs every couple of weeks. Very consistent uptrend, but really one that you would have to watch quite carefully. There's rumors looming large that the copper market is being manipulated. I'm not so sure that that's true, purely because if it really were being manipulated, we would hear the end consumers bleating that because there wasn't enough of supply around, and we haven't heard that. So the chances of it being manipulated, I think, are really quite thin. As for the other metals, tin in particular has been really quite weak. It fell below that 7,000 level, which was reasonably important because it was pretty much the top of the long-term base. But right now it's around 6,550, and one to watch because when we do get that upward dynamic, the upside will be quite good. Lead as well, down a bit today. It seems to be consolidating those strong gains we had towards the end of last week, early this week, but lead is definitely going on to, well, looks like it's going on to go up and test those highs. So potential there. In the agricultural commodities, well, agricultural commodities have been coming down quite a lot, particularly the grains. While soybeans is up 8 3/4 right now at 5.69, and corn is up 2 1/4, the downtrend is still very much intact. Coffee, well, these are, sorry, one other thing about the grains is that they are becoming cheap, and I think that they're going to get cheaper. But once we get down right into the bottom of those bases, they will be almost at, or they're going to be really very good bargains, and the upside is can be quite significant. Coffee is up a little bit in here today, but that's also in quite a stiff downtrend. Cocoa, on the other hand, has had two very good dynamics over the last couple of days. In the US, it's down 21 at the moment, so that's at 14.13, and I'll just pull up the London listing, where it's also down just a little. It's retraced about half of that upward dynamic yesterday, so steadying up a little bit, but certainly hasn't retraced the full upward dynamic, and that really was quite a good signal. You do have a progression of lower highs since June. There's a high in June, July, and August, and each one is a lower high, so we'd have to break out of that progression of lower highs to really to show us that it's going to move that bit higher. And that would mean a break above 900, but almost certainly going to go up and test 900 from this level. So then the some of the other agriculturals, like the feeder cattle and lean hogs, they're doing quite well at the moment. I think there is a bit of a trade between when the grains go down, the meats will go up, but they are looking quite good at the moment, particularly the lean hogs. That's got quite a consistent uptrend. But that's pretty much it from me. If there's anything at all I can help you out with, or any questions you have, please don't hesitate to contact me. And thank you very much for your time.